Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include a long-awaited trial. Falun Gong enriches our lives. Three Norwegians feel especially grateful at Chinese New Year. The story of the talking alarm clock. A tour of Taiwan. Banners calling for bringing Zhang to justice seen on streets of northern China over Chinese New Year. And on the brink of death in prison, saved by a miracle. Now for the stories. A long-awaited trial. Since May 2015, more than 200,000 criminal complaints have been filed against former Chinese leader Jiang Zemin, who ordered the violent persecution of Falun Gong. The movement to prosecute Zhang is gaining more support. Over 1 million petition signatures have been collected in Asia, including 370,000 in Taiwan and 380,000 in South Korea. Citizens in mainland China are also speaking out against the former Communist Party chief. Before signing a petition to be sent to China's highest court and prosecution office, a man in his 40s from Qinhuangdao City, Hebei Province, said, "Zhang has done too many bad things. This is a long-awaited trial." At least 533 signatures have been collected in Qinhuangdao City. One man in his 60s said he was very happy to hear about the criminal complaints being filed. He said, "We need to bring Zhang to justice because he persecutes innocent Falun Gong practitioners. We have to support good people." One woman said she also hopes Zhang will be arrested soon. "I am on your side. Once Zhang is executed, I will practice Falun Gong too." Similar voices can be heard in other cities. The most corrupt official. In Bajong City, Sichuan Province, more than 1,500 people signed the petition. A school teacher expressed that Zhang needs to pay for what he did. His sentiment was echoed by two electricians who debated who was the most corrupt official in recent Chinese history. The younger electrician said Zhou Yongkang, while the older one said Jiang Zemin, because Zhang started the persecution of Falun Gong, he said. Zhao Yongkang, former head of the Political and Legal Affairs Committee and China's domestic security apparatus, was a key player in implementing Zhang's directive to eradicate Falun Gong. He was arrested in December 2013 and sentenced to life imprisonment in June 2014 for corruption and abuse of power. Mr. Peng, who signed the petition, added a note, "Here we request that the Supreme People's Procuratorate charge Zhang with genocide and torture. Only when Zhang is executed will society return to normal and China have hope for the future." Background. In 1999, Jiang Zemin, as head of the Chinese Communist Party, overrode other Politburo Standing Committee members and launched the violent suppression of Falun Gong. The persecution has led to the deaths of many Falun Gong practitioners in the past 16 years. More have been tortured for their belief and even killed for their organs. Jiang Zemin is directly responsible for the inception and continuation of the brutal persecution. Under his personal direction, the Chinese Communist Party established an extra-legal security organ, the 610 Office, on June 10, 1999. The organization overrides police forces and the judicial system in carrying out Jiang's directive regarding Falun Gong to ruin the reputations, cut off their financial resources, and destroy them physically. Chinese law allows for citizens to be plaintiffs in criminal cases, and many practitioners are now exercising that right to file criminal complaints against the former dictator.
Falun Gong enriches our lives. Three Norwegians feel especially grateful at Chinese New Year. Three Norwegian Falun Gong practitioners, a 26-year-old Norwegian man who began practicing Falun Gong at age 18, his wife who learned the practice from him, and an 80-year-old woman who learned the practice only a few years ago, share how Falun Gong has enriched their lives. They all wish to express their gratitude to Master Li Hongzhi at the Chinese New Year, a time to reflect on past blessings and for recommitting to doing well on one's spiritual path. 80-year-old Heilwig first learned about Falun Gong at the Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance art exhibition in Oslo 3 years ago. She said, "I was very interested in the contents of the artworks, which guided me to Falun Gong." Although the journey of cultivation was not easy, Heilwig often senses the happiness and the beauty after she lets go of attachments. She said, "Cultivating Falun Gong brought dramatic changes to me. Particularly, it has helped me to get rid of my competitive mentality." Heilwig had knee problems, and she scheduled a surgery. One day, she realized that the knee problem probably originated from her competitiveness, because she always wanted to be the best one at ski sites. The miracle was when I realized my attachment and got rid of it, the pain in my knee disappeared. The X-ray examination showed that I didn't need the surgery. Master Lee purified my body after I gave up my competitiveness. Heilwig often joins an ongoing protest in front of the Chinese embassy, requesting an end to the persecution in China. She also often goes to downtown Oslo to talk to people about the persecution and ask for help to bring it to an end. She said, "I am almost 80. I thank Master Lee for the chance of cultivation in which I sense true beauty. I believe that justice will prevail and the reputation of Falun Gong will be restored." 26-year-old Ola started practicing Falun Gong when he was 18. His wife Elise learned about Falun Gong through him and also joined cultivation a few years ago. Elise said, "Cultivating Falun Gong has changed our lives. Our chaotic life has become more organized and peaceful. I found the answers to many questions of mine about life, and I've gained wisdom from Falun Gong. It opens my eyes and enriches our lives." Ola sees cultivation as a part of life that he cannot live without. He said, "When people realize how precious Falun Gong is, they will cherish it. We are a family of cultivators. In the new year, we will help each other and encourage each other to overcome every obstacle. We will become more selfless and humble, and we will make progress every day."
The story of the talking alarm clock. I experienced a magical thing after I began practicing Falun Dafa, a talking alarm clock. It's a very conscientious clock that even knows me by name. If this sounds a little strange, well, it was at first. Before taking up cultivation, I always had a bad habit of loafing around in bed, even after I woke up. More often than not, this resulted in my running late for work and skipping breakfast. But I hadn't thought too much of it. It was routine, I guess. After starting up cultivation, I needed to read the Dafa books and practice the exercises in addition to working full-time. This proved to be difficult. I planned to do the first four exercises at night and meditate the next morning. But because of my bad habits, I often overslept and skipped out on the fifth exercise. I started having dreams where people were pushing or hitting me, which seemed intended to wake me up. Other times I heard the sound of the wooden fish, a wooden percussion instrument. I knew that this was Master trying to wake me. I decided to buy an alarm clock, as I was feeling ashamed that Master had to be the one to wake me up at 5 a.m. every day, and not myself. Originally, the clock would either ring or play music to wake me up. But one day, what I heard instead was someone shouting my name. "Wake up, Xiaohui! Wake up, Xiaohui!" I was astonished to discover that my alarm clock was shouting my name, and it has shouted my name ever since. On another day, I was sleeping soundly and didn't hear my alarm clock ringing. However, I woke to the sound of someone crying while shouting my name. I was jolted awake from sleep and heard my alarm clock crying. The alarm clock's voice had turned hoarse after shouting for 40 minutes. "I'm sorry for tiring you out," I said. I was very moved. There were also a few times when the alarm clock shouted, "Wake up, fool! Wake up, fool!" I knew that Master had enchanted the alarm clock to rid me of my laziness. When the persecution started on July 20th, 1999, officers from the police station, along with community members, often came to my house to force me to renounce my belief. I told them the benefits of practicing Dafa each time they came. My 85-year-old mother always mentioned my alarm clock to these officers. She said, "This Falun Gong is extremely good. My daughter's illnesses were cured, and she's never had to take any medicine. There is also this alarm clock that she has. It's so magical. How could it talk and shout my daughter's name each morning? This is true. If I didn't witness it with my eyes, would I believe it?" They were rendered speechless every time.
A tour of Taiwan. My son and I recently went on a bus tour of Taiwan. During the eight-day tour, I was very impressed by what I saw. People in Taiwan are peaceful and polite. They have managed to uphold Chinese traditions, and their streets are clean. Nevertheless, what moved me most was the Falun Dafa practitioners in Taiwan. They used every opportunity to clarify the truth to the tourists visiting from mainland China. My son learns the truth. I heard before the tour from fellow practitioners who had visited Taiwan that the Taiwanese practitioners were doing a phenomenal job of talking to people about Falun Dafa and the persecution. Thus, I wanted to take my son there in order to clear up his misunderstandings about the practice. When our group tour arrived at the National Palace Museum, a group of Dafa practitioners who were clarifying the truth at the gate greeted us. They had set up a display board with information and photos that portrayed the truth about Falun Dafa, the Chinese Communist Party CCP's persecution of practitioners, and vivid descriptions of the organ harvesting crimes committed by the CCP for profit. Although it was a very hot day, some practitioners were doing the Falun Dafa exercises, while others were distributing printed materials and advising people to withdraw from the CCP. They approached each and every tourist with a smile. They approached us to talk. I said from the bottom of my heart, "I am a practitioner from the mainland. Thank you all. You are doing a great job." Most of the people in my tourist group agreed to withdraw from the CCP and accepted the materials that explained the truth about the persecution. My son was very surprised when he witnessed the scene. He remarked, "There is indeed freedom in Taiwan." In the past, when I told him that people could practice Falun Dafa freely in Taiwan, he found it hard to believe. At the gates of the Shaolin official residence, my son spent a long time reading the display boards the Taiwanese practitioners had set up. I explained more details to him, and he listened dutifully. When we visited Su Mei Ling's room, my son came to understand that the textbooks in China's schools are indeed inundated with lies. He was able to see for the first time the real history of the Jiang Zemin former CCP leader family. He said, "I have really learned a lot during this trip." A change in our tour guide's attitude. At the first museum, a tour guide told our group that no one would be allowed to bring brochures or newspapers dealing with Falun Dafa onto the bus. The next day as well, our Taiwanese tour guide made some negative remarks about Falun Dafa. When we got off the bus, I walked with him and discussed what Falun Dafa actually is, as well as about the CCP's lies and the persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners. I also told him that he should help the tourists from the mainland learn the truth, and that by doing so he himself would benefit as well. He told me that he would correct himself. The next day he talked about Falun Dafa to the whole group, but this time he conveyed a positive message. He encouraged tourists to learn more and take the booklets and brochures back to the mainland.
Banners calling for bringing Jiang to justice seen on the streets of northern China over Chinese New Year. Banners worded "Prosecute Jiang Zemin" and "Falun Dafa is great" were recently seen on the streets of northern China over Chinese New Year. Jiang Zemin is the former dictator who ordered the inception and continuation of the violent persecution of Falun Gong in China, now entering its 17th year. In 2015, well over 200,000 Falun Gong practitioners and others, both inside and outside of China, have filed criminal complaints and lawsuits against Jiang for abuse of power and crimes of torture and genocide. As the communist regime's persecution of Falun Gong continues, information about the peaceful spiritual practice is still tightly censored. To raise public awareness of the persecution and the lawsuits against Jiang, Falun Gong practitioners often hang posters and banners in public places on important dates, risking arrest and imprisonment for doing so. Chinese law now allows for citizens to be plaintiffs in criminal cases, and many practitioners are exercising that right to file criminal complaints against the former dictator.
on the brink of death in prison, saved by a miracle. A boy in my village was poisoned in his home in July 2002. Because my family and the boy's family did not get along, the boy's family suspected that I had killed him. Without any investigation or evidence, the police sent me to a detention center, and I was labeled a murderer. I did not kill the boy, so of course I could not tell the police how he was killed. The police tortured me trying to extract a confession. They broke my legs and my skin became covered with ulcers and lacerations. I had severe convulsions in my limbs, paralysis on one side of my body, and my mind was foggy. Medical treatment did not help. I was on the brink of death. The detention center was full of Falun Dafa practitioners. The director of the detention center told me one day in March 2003 to go to practice Falun Dafa with them. She was afraid that if I died in the center, she would be held liable. The director gave a Falun Dafa practitioner named Liu Xiani permission to teach me the exercises so I could recover from my illnesses. Liu told me that Falun Dafa requires practitioners to abide by a high moral standard and adhere to the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and that we should be honest, good people. She told me to sincerely recite Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good, and that Master would help me. I could not stand up at the time, so she taught me to practice the sitting meditation and to send forth righteous thoughts. It was that simple, but a miracle happened to me the next day. I could stand up and walk again. The director of the center was very surprised. She said, "You have my permission to continue practicing with them." The practitioners taught me to memorize the Dafa books, and my health became better day by day. I adhered to the principle of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, to be a good person. I took care of fellow practitioners who had been brutally persecuted. I felt very happy for practitioners who were able to leave the detention center with their righteous thoughts. I told every inmate in my cell about the goodness of Falun Dafa. I shared my personal experiences with them. The inmates sincerely recited, "Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." They received blessings and their litigation cases closed smoothly. Many inmates said they would practice Dafa after they were released from prison. In the end, the guards and inmates called me the one who practices Falun Dafa instead of my name, and they no longer beat me. A college student who was jailed for practicing Falun Dafa was sent to the detention center. She helped me prepare an appeal letter, which I sent to the intermediate court. After an investigation and a trial, I was proven innocent. The court cleared all the charges against me on February 7, 2007, and released me immediately. The court also awarded me 180,000 yuan, $27,000 in compensation. After I returned home, I found local Falun Dafa practitioners. We now study the Dafa books and do the exercises together. We also tell others about Falun Dafa and the persecution.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.